The last Sunday of 2024. Can you believe it? When I was a kid, 2025 was when like science fiction movies took place, right? Anybody else with me out there? Seems crazy. Seems crazy. Well, I don't know how your 2024 went. I think we always get to the end of a year and it's a time for reflection. We kind of always look back at the past year. And this last half of this year has been kind of hard for me and my family. We've been through several different things that have kind of made it a hard year. Sometimes you reflect back and you go, man, that was a great year. We accomplished all these things. And sometimes you reflect back and go, man, that year didn't really turn out the way I wanted. So you guys are probably somewhere in there, I would guess. I don't know how many of you loved 2024 and how many of you didn't. So a couple things that made it kind of a struggle for us just recently. I was really at the beginning of this year, I was really feeling like we had kind of a handle on my health struggles. You know, I've kind of shared a lot of those with you guys and tried to be transparent about everything that's been happening. And so at the beginning of the year, I kind of felt like, okay, we're moving forward. We kind of have a handle on some of these things and medications and stuff like that. And then, you know, at the end of August is when I was in the hospital and I broke my back. And that made me feel like everything went backwards all of a sudden. Like we were right back to where we were 6 years ago when I broke my shoulders because I had that big seizure. So at the end of this year, I kind of felt, okay, now we're starting all over again with all that stuff. And I felt a big setback with that. And then as far as like some fun things, you know, I've shared with you my current project I'm doing in my shop. I'm working on my 72 F100. And I had at the beginning of the year, I was like, okay, 2024, by the end of this year, here's where I'm going to be on that. You know, this is the stuff I'm going to have done. And so I realized, you know, like a week ago, I actually like pulled apart some things I had put together this year. So literally at the end of 2024, I'm further behind in the project than when the year started. So that's how that one ended up this year. And then we just recently, in the last couple weeks, so I have we have a couple daily drivers that we have, and I try to get those set in place because I don't want to worry about those, because if I'm working on cars, I want it to be my fun cars, you know, in the shop, because my projects usually are not running 80% of the time for the most part. And so I don't get to drive those, I just work on them. And so we have our kind of daily drivers that I'm like, okay, I just want those to run, so I don't have to worry about those. And then we just had one of those break down a couple weeks ago, and it ended up being it's going to be a really expensive repair, and that car has 230,000 miles on it. Yes, that's my nice car. That has 230,000 miles on it, so it's like, well, do we fix that? Do we try to buy a new car? And so we got to kind of the end of this year, and I'm like, man, I feel like I've gone backwards in 2024. Like, things have not really gone the way I wanted them to. And I know I've talked to some other people, and you're kind of in that place too, some of you. And I want you to know, as you reflect on the last year, if you didn't accomplish all you wanted to and get everything done, and even if it seems like you're behind from where you started the year, that's okay. Some years go that way. Okay, don't get down on yourself. It's not a big deal. Sometimes years go that way. If you got to the end of this year and you're like, man, this was the greatest year ever, praise God. I'm glad you had an awesome year, and I'm really excited for you. But as I was thinking back on my year and some conversations I've had with a couple of you, it reminded me of a passage in the book of Haggai, actually. Haggai is a really small Old Testament book that comes just a few books before the New Testament. It's a prophetic book, and it's a really short little book, but there's one, when I have these kinds of years, like I've had this year, there's a verse in the book of Haggai that I always think of. And here's what it is. It's Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. And maybe as you look back on your 2024, you can relate to this too. It says, you have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough to be satisfied. You drink, but never have enough to be happy. You put on clothes, but never have enough to get warm. The wage earner puts his wages into a bag with a hole in it. Have you ever had a year where you kind of felt that way? The wage earner puts his wages into a bag with a hole in it. Seems like I'm just not getting ahead. Now, in this passage, the people of Israel were very frustrated because nothing was going the way they wanted it to go. They were working and working and just not getting ahead. So God sends this prophet to tell him, here's what the issue is. Here's the problem with what's going on. And so in order to hear God's answer to them, we kind of have to read that whole section, verses 1 through 9. So let me read that for you. It says, in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. The Lord of armies said this, these people say the time has not yet come for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. The word of the Lord has come through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now the Lord of armies says this, think carefully about your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough to be satisfied. You drink, but you never have enough to be happy. You put on clothes, but never have enough to get warm. The wage earner puts his wages into a bag with a hole in it. The Lord of armies says this, think carefully about your ways. Go up into the hills, bring down lumber, and build the house, and I will be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You expected much, but then it amounted to little. When you brought in the harvest to your house, I ruined it. Why? Because this is the declaration of the Lord of armies, because my house still lies in ruins while each of you is busy with his own house. This passage was convicting to me at the end of this year. And as I start next year, I don't want to go into 2025 with all the stress and all the worry of 2024 not going the way I wanted it to. And things just not working out for me last year. So I don't want to go in there with all that stress and all that worry. And so it brought me to another passage. And that's where we're going to spend our time today. And the title of the message is No Worries for 2025. Sounds like a good year, right? No Worries for 2025. I want to revisit a biblical principle and decide to set our minds on it today. Before the first day of the year gets here, to have the correct mindset going into this next year. And that principle comes from a teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. That's going to be our passage for today. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. Now, most Bibles have little headings throughout the Bible. It'll tell you, here's, you know, Jesus, for instance, in chapter 6, it says how to pray, the model prayer, how to fast, God in possessions. It has these little titles, you know, to kind of tell you what's happening in this next part. I do want you to know that the titles are not scripture. They were not there originally. A couple weeks ago, I said I disagreed with one of the titles, and I got a couple really ugly looks. I'm not disagreeing with the Bible, okay? I always agree with that. But one of the titles. And so as you go through and you kind of look at your Bible, you can kind of see, oh, this is what it's going to talk about next. But right before Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, in my Bible it says, the cure for anxiety. Man, how much money could you make with that program, right? The cure for anxiety. That's something I want to know as I start 2025. So let's look what Jesus has to say about that. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe the wildflowers of the field and how they grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word today, I just ask that you give us what it says, the cure for anxiety. In our world, it seems like there's so much for us to worry about. And so, Father, we need to hear from you today. And so, Lord, I just ask that you open up our hearts and our minds, that we would be attentive to what you have to say. And I'm guessing there's some barriers that we've put up today, probably some distractions because we're worried about something this morning, because we have something stressing us out or something that's occupying our mind besides you. And so, Father, I just ask that you remove those barriers, that you would get rid of those things today, and that we just be open and listening to what you have to say. Heavenly Father, I ask that you hide me behind the cross and glorify Jesus Christ. He is the only one who is worthy, and he's the only one who is deserving our praise and our honor and worship this morning. So glorify him. And Heavenly Father, get me out of the way. I'm so aware of my failures, my shortcomings. I'm so aware of my inability to change anyone's life. Lord, I can't fix anyone's worry or stress. I deal with that myself. So, Lord, you need to speak. We need to hear from you today. So, Lord, get me out of the way and speak your word to us, to your church today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus begins this passage in verse 25 by simply saying, "Don't worry." And when he says, "Don't worry," he's not talking about don't sweat the small stuff. What does he say not to worry about? Having enough to eat, about clothes to wear. Like, those are pretty serious things in life. But he starts by saying, don't even worry about that stuff. That's a pretty bold statement for Jesus to make. But he goes on and he tells us why. He tells us what's wrong with worry. So as I said, the title of the message today is No Worries for 2025. And here's what Jesus teaches us is wrong with worry. Number one, worry is fruitless. Worry is fruitless. It accomplishes nothing. Secondly, worry is faithless. It shows a lack of faith in who God is. And finally, worry is godless. Worry is something for Gentiles and idolaters, not for believers. Worry is godless. Then at the end, he gives us actually the key to ridding ourselves of worry. And it is the exact same key that he taught the Israelites way back in the book of Haggai. It's the same thing. So that's what we're going to look at today. So let's begin with the first idea that worry is fruitless. In verses 26 through 27, back in Matthew 6, it says, "Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying?" Jesus first gives us the illustration of the birds. Now, when is the last time you saw a bird driving a tractor? I've never seen it, actually. They don't worry about it. God provides for them. They do what birds were created to do, and God takes care of the rest. And to drive that point home, Jesus makes this great statement. Man, this is such a great statement. Can you add one day to your life by worrying? Can you add one day to your life? In fact, modern medicine has taught us what about worry? Quite the opposite, right? It takes days away from your life. It does not add days to your life. Worry is fruitless. It doesn't accomplish anything. It makes things worse. It doesn't accomplish anything. Worry is fruitless. And then he goes on to explain why worry is fatal. In 28 through 30, this is what Jesus says. "And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God puts clothes on the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith?" Jesus gives another illustration. It's one that would be very poignant in his time. The grass of the field was pretty worthless in ancient times. There wasn't much to do with it. They would cut it down and they would throw it into fires and they would burn it. And yet the grass in full bloom is a beautiful sight to behold. Now we understand that. We in Colorado have some beautiful weeds, don't we? I mean, some of them, when they're in full bloom, are really beautiful. And what are they good for? Cut them down and burn them. That's what we're going to do with them. And he's saying, if God makes those things beautiful that are just here today and gone tomorrow, why are you worried about yourself? Why are you worried? I mean, you're the ones that I sent my one and only son to die to rescue you. And I've created you for eternity. Look at how beautiful I've made the grass. Don't you think you're going to be okay? I haven't forgotten about you. That's the illustration he gives. See, when we worry, it shows that we don't have faith in God to take care of our needs. We don't have faith in God to take care of our needs. We don't believe that we are who he says we are, that we are his beloved children, that he will care for us. It shows faithlessness. Now, those of you who are parents, ask yourself this question. Imagine how incredibly sad it would be if your child lived every day stressed out because they didn't believe you were going to provide for them. They didn't believe you were going to take care of them. They didn't trust you to put food on the table or give them something to wear for the next day at school. I know sometimes the laundry doesn't get done, but that's not the same thing. How sad would it be for your child to wake up every morning and go, Mom, Dad, is there anything to eat today? Do I have to go get something myself? Do I need to go to the grocery store because I don't trust you to have food on the table today? What a sad state. After I'd had my seizure and gone through all different kinds of medication, I had a really, really rough time. Man, seizure medication's crazy. I mean, it does all kinds of weird things to your head. And so we'd gone through all these different kinds of medications to figure out, you know, what would work for me. Had a really rough time. And then not long after that, I was doing breaks on our Expedition, our big family vehicle that fits all the family in it. And one of my children, I'm not going to say which one it is, but one of my children found out I was doing the brakes, and I've done brakes on every single car we own. Over all the cars we've owned. I don't think I've owned a car that I haven't done the brakes on myself. And so I'm doing the brakes on the Expedition, and one of my kids was like, Dad, are you sure that's okay? Is that going to be safe? Do you know, shouldn't we take it somewhere, Dad, and have somebody else do the brakes on it instead of you? And that broke my heart. It's like, I put brakes on every car you've ever ridden in, kiddo. But they didn't trust me to be able to take care of him and keep him safe at that moment. Now I understand, but that really broke my heart. Can you imagine God? And you going, you know, hey, God, I don't think you got this. I don't think you can take care of this. I better take this into my hands because I don't think you've got it covered. Worry is faithless. It's faithless. And the final thing is, worry is godless. Verses 31 and 32 back in Matthew chapter 6 says, so don't worry, saying what we eat or what we drink or what we wear. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. It's amazing how timely this is. It's precisely the view of a modern atheist that our pursuit of food and drink and shelter is what life is all about. That's how we evolved into what we are today, is through that simple pursuit of those things. That is foundational to life. It's us pursuing those things and making them happen for ourselves that has made us who we are. That's what life is about. And some translations, it may say this in yours, said, for the idolaters eagerly seek these things, run after these things, the pagans, the ones who don't believe in our God, because these things become their idols. And what I mean by that is these things become what life is all about. What is life about? It's about my food, my drink, my clothes, my house, my stuff. That's what life is about. And that's what creates all this worry in me, is making sure that I have all the things that I want to have And that becomes idolatry. That becomes the purpose of my everyday. That becomes the reason that I live, and that is idolatry. That is godless. Now, hidden in this truth, in this passage, is the gospel message. What separates us as followers of Jesus Christ, what separates us from the pagans? What separates us from the idolaters? What makes us Christians? Foundationally, it's that we have put our trust in Jesus for our salvation, our eternity, and our daily bread. What makes us believers is we have put our faith in Jesus, not in ourselves anymore. Isn't that what it means to come to Jesus? It means that it's no longer on Shane's hands. It's no longer on my shoulders to take care of myself. It is Jesus who has saved me. It is Jesus who has rescued me. It is Jesus who will provide for me, and it is Jesus who will bring me into eternity. I don't trust in me anymore. I trust in him. That's the gospel. To worry flies in the face of that truth. To say, I put my trust in you, Jesus, but not really. But not completely and not totally. Now this, I want to make this clear before we go on to the conclusion. This is not a call to irresponsibility. This is not a call to laziness. This is not a call to do nothing. But it's a challenge to let these things that you're normally, you know, we worry about, these things that concern us, become the center of our thoughts, become the foundation of our day. That's what I mean about worry. Now, you can be responsible and work hard and not be lazy and also not worry. I think we tie those two too closely together sometimes. Well, I get everything done because I'm worried. That's why I get stuff done. No, I work hard and I don't worry while I do it because God has got this. So at this point, you might be a little frustrated because it's one thing for me to stand here and tell you, here's all the stuff that's wrong with worry. And it's one thing to stand here and say, so don't worry, everybody. Have a great day. But we kind of need to know how, right? How do I not worry? Because it seems to overwhelm us, especially as Americans today. Well, Jesus gives us the answer. He doesn't leave us hanging, thankfully. Back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, all these things about worry, here's why you shouldn't do it, here's what it is. And then verse 33, he says, however, but seek first, instead of worrying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. The key to leaving behind all our worries is to put God and his kingdom first and foremost in our lives. That's the cure for anxiety. It's the exact same thing he told his people in Haggai chapter 1 that we read at the beginning. And that's why this was so important to me, because when Haggai chapter 1 verse 6 came to mind, you put your wages in a purse with holes in it. Then you read on and God says, here's the solution. He says, go up into the hills, bring down lumber and build the house, and I will be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. What he's telling his people there is put me first. Put me first. Before you worry about your own stuff and everything that you want, put me first. And that's what Jesus says back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek what first? God's kingdom, not your own. He's saying, put me first. That's the cure for this worry and this anxiety. So as you begin to think about 2025, where you're going from here, and what the next year looks like, ask yourself this question. So this is the most important question you can ask in the coming year, every year. But let's just say this coming year, okay? Most important question, whose kingdom am I building? Whose kingdom am I building? Anytime you build your own kingdom, while ignoring God's kingdom, you're setting yourself up for worry, for frustration, and ultimately for failure. Because everything you build for your own kingdom will be burned up and destroyed. none of it lasts. And everything you do for God's kingdom will last forever. Jesus actually said that earlier in Matthew chapter 6. Sometimes I feel like I need to apologize at the end of sermons because I'm like, well, you could have just read these couple verses and you would have gotten it all. But I got to talk for a while. So in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 21, before the cure for anxiety, here's what Jesus said. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in to steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, build his kingdom, where neither moth nor rust destroyed and where thieves won't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, that's where your concerns will be. It's where your desires will be. Where your treasure is. So what does that look like practically? Ask yourself some questions like this. Are you stressed over a promotion at work, but you never share your faith with those you work with? Guess whose kingdom you're putting first? Are you worried about buying a bigger, better house while not striving to have a godly household? Guess whose kingdom you're putting first? Are you watching your savings account like a hawk while never giving anything back to God? Guess whose kingdom you're building? In every decision, in every action, especially when that stress wells up in you, ask yourself, wait a minute, whose kingdom am I building right now? Whose kingdom am I building right now? When I build his kingdom, I can live in peace and I can live in joy. I may lose all of my money in circumstances beyond my control, but nothing will ever take away the souls that I've led to Jesus Christ. That will last forever. That's a bank account that I never have to worry about. All my cars will break down. That's happened. But no one can ever take away the individuals in my congregation as a pastor that have grown in their relationship with Jesus Christ because of the love and time I've invested in them. That will never be taken away. My health may continue to decline. It might not get any better. 2025 might be worse than 2024. Who knows what I'll break next? But I will never lose my relationship with my Lord and the eternal life that rests in his hands and not in mine. Now, I got to have these every once in a while. It's confession time for Pastor Shane. I went back and looked at, I preached on this passage 8 years ago in 2016. And that was about a year and a half before I had my seizure and broke my shoulders, before this whole mess started. That's back when I was big, strong, healthy Shane, never even had a cavity. Like I was, everything was fine with me. And then all of a sudden, things just fell apart in 2018. And when I preached on it 8 years ago, that last paragraph that I shared with you said, I may lose my health, but nothing will ever take away my relationship with Christ. And so as I look back at that, I go, well, guess what, Shane? That's kind of happened. Where are you now? Where are you at now? And I have to admit, a lot of my time has been spent worrying and stressed out about me. So that was a big challenge to me. Am I living out this truth? I had a seminary professor who told me once, never preach a sermon that didn't preach to you first. And this was very convicting when I went back to this scripture. And by God's grace, I'm going to try to. I'm going to work on this and say, yeah, I'm not the guy I used to be health-wise. But my life doesn't revolve around whether or not I can move this arm all the way. It's more important things. I'm building God's kingdom. So the biggest question that you have to ask going into 2025, if you want to live free of the worry and the stress and the frustration in the coming year, the biggest question you need to ask is, whose kingdom am I building? Whose kingdom am I building? Amen? Stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for all the keys to life that are contained within your word. It is all we need for joy and peace and comfort. It's all we need for living abundant life. I want to thank you for your incredible, living, powerful word. And Lord, I want to thank you for leading me to this passage in these last weeks of this year. Because I know a lot of times I've focused on the things that are not eternal. I know a lot of times I've focused on Shane's kingdom. And that's not going to last. And because of that, Lord, I know that I've worried about what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to drink or what I'm going to wear or if my cars are going to run or if I'm going to have enough money for that thing. Lord, I just ask that as a congregation, as your church, as your people, that we would all get this truth, that we would all understand this truth, and our lives would be all about building your kingdom. And that we would go out and that we would work hard and we would be reliable, that we wouldn't be lazy. We know you don't like slothfulness, but we would be hard workers who, in the midst of everything you've called us to do, our jobs, our families, our hobbies, that all of it would ultimately be about your kingdom. And that's why we're doing it. And in the midst of that, because it's about your kingdom, that we could have peace. And we could have joy, even when stuff is hard. And even when it's not going the way that I want it to go. Because it's not about my kingdom. It's about your kingdom. So Lord, let us be a people who every single day build your kingdom. Because when we do that, we are putting our wages in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, where no one can steal it. Lord, teach us to put our treasures in heaven. And as we do that, free us from our worry. Let 2025 be a year free from anxiety and stress and worry, because we're serving you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Happy New Year.